Webber playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You are listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, birds. Welcome to this edition of the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, sponsored by Sammy and Avanti's. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster back with another week of sports talk, and we got a loaded show today. We're super excited to bring this one to you. Of course, we are going to talk about Redbird football, but we're also going to bring you a little bit of preview for men's basketball, so that's super exciting. And then on the second half of the show, we got NFL talk, and there was just a ton of stuff that happened in sports this week that we're going to talk about as well on Rounding the Bases. So fellas, happy Thursday. Welcome back to the Red Zone.
Yeah, exciting to be here. It's going to be a little bit of an emotional episode, going to be a lot of arguments, a lot of just fun talks. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think this episode is going to be very eventful. We got a lot to talk about. Some sadness, but also a lot of arguments I think are going to be coming towards the end. So here we go.
We were kind of talking about it before we went on the show. What are we going to do on today's show? We were going to do an NFL recap, but then we realized there is just so much that happened in sports this week. And I mean, we could preview a little bit. Derrick Rose retiring. The Oakland A's are leaving Oakland. The White Sox are about to break a record. The Illinois football is playing this week. We got so much to talk about, so we'll get to that in the later half of the show. But this first 30 minutes is going to be jam-packed with Redbird coverage, and we'll start right there. Illinois State football is in the midst of a 3-game winning streak after getting blown out by Iowa week one. This Illinois State team has turned it around, and they looked really, really good on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, this team is getting better and better every single week. You can just tell that offense is finally clicking. Tommy Rittenhouse is finally feeling comfortable down in the pocket. So as long as his passing it gets better and better, like we've seen every single week, I think this team's going to be perfectly fine.
Yeah, we can talk about Tommy Rittenhouse and the offense, but the big statement heading into this game was the defense. They underperformed versus Western Illinois, and they needed to make a statement, and they held Eastern Illinois to just a touchdown in the second quarter. That's incredible work, and what a turnaround for the Redbirds.
Yeah, I think we're going to stick on Julian's point first before we get over to that defense. But Tommy Rittenhouse, man, he has looked really, really good. And you can tell he's just developing as a passer. 17 for 22, 228 yards, and 3 touchdowns for the junior, while also having 51 yards on the ground as well. So, I mean, if you're seeing this Tommy Rittenhouse every week, watch out FCS, because, I mean, this is just phenomenal.
I mean, you just have to love the unpredictability that the Redbirds offense has under Tommy Rittenhouse, because in the past, they've had good run games, but whenever the quarterback was dropping back, you knew it wasn't going to be a scramble. It was going to be a pass attempt. They never really had a threatening quarterback with the legs. So the fact that Tommy Rittenhouse was already dangerous with his feet heading into the season, and now he's been able to develop with throwing the ball, it's just such a dangerous combination. That's just so hard for defensive coordinators to plan around.
And on the other side, the person that's helping out Tommy the most, I think, is Winker's right. He had 150 yards rushing last game, and if you have a good rushing attack like that, it's only going to open up the whole offense way more. So as long as Winker's is running the ball like he is, Tommy is doing good in the RPOs, he's doing good in the pocket, and you see Xavier Lloyd having a great game, and Daniel Sopko seemed like he's back after that last touchdown last game. So he had 2 touchdowns, actually. So this team's looking very, very good.
Going back to Winker's right, he has just filled in perfectly. We knew he'd be in the fold, but ever since really his freshman year, it feels like he kind of got put on the back seat for some other running backs. And now with injuries, he has emerged as the running back one for this Redbird team. Right now, he looks like one of the best running backs in FCS football, has 445 yards on the ground to go along with plentiful of touchdowns as well. So we knew the rushing attack was going to be big this year, but I mean, Winker's right has really made a statement so far in the early season.
Yeah, and that's what's just so beautiful about the sport of football. It's just one injury is going to just provide an opportunity for somebody else to make a case for themselves for how good of a player they are. That's what Winker's right has done. He was expected to be the RB2 this season, and now he's getting a heavy workload with RB1, and he has been a significant part of this Illinois State offense, and he's going to need to continue to be that week after week, especially, I'm not sure if you want to talk about this yet, but heading into a massive homecoming contest this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, running backs, they get injured all the time. If you're a running back, you pretty much got to be ready to be that next man up, because at any point, one guy could go down, and then next thing you know, you're the top guy the rest of the season. So he knew that he was going to get his opportunities, maybe not like this, but he's making out the most of it, and it's going to be very exciting to see how he does the rest of the season.
We talked about it last week after the win against Western Illinois, which was 51-34, and Joey kind of alluded to it as well. But in that game, defense was very sloppy. I mean, they gave up a boatload of yards to the Western Illinois Leathernecks. This week was not the case at all. Illinois State, just phenomenal on defense this week, and that's kind of what we expected to see. They only held the two quarterbacks to under 100 yards. So, I mean, that besides the 117 yards on the ground, that was an impressive week from the Redbirds' defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of smarter all around. You know, they weren't just having loose coverage. They weren't making silly penalties. It seemed like this is a reality check maybe this defense needed. You know, there was a lot of confidence heading into the FCS, you know, being nationally ranked, where I think they were just too overconfident heading into Western Illinois. It's just sometimes you got to eat the humble sandwich, and it seems like Illinois State's defense was able to eat that well.
Yeah, and I want to just point out a specific group of individuals on this team. The DBs on this team have been phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal. Kadri Jackson is having an amazing season. Last game he had an interception, multiple tackles. Then you see other guys like Mark Hanna Jr. Other guys are just making out plays on the team. And when you have good DBs out there just helping out the guys up front, it's only going to make the chemistry on the whole team get better, because the big plays aren't going to happen if the DBs are playing well.
So we look ahead to the rest of Illinois State's schedule, and with it being homecoming week here in Bloomington Normal and at Illinois State University, for I think this is the third time in my 4 years of being here that they have put North Dakota State on the schedule for homecoming. And it's going to be a tall task as it has in the past years. I mean, I feel like the stakes are higher this year because everyone is expecting just some great success out of this Illinois State Redbird team. North Dakota State is the number two team in the country, so they have a tall task at hand for homecoming. Do you guys think they can get it done here?
I think so. North Dakota State has been an incredible team in the FCS. There's no denying it. However, if there's any year to beat North Dakota State, it's this year. You look at their schedule, they're going against East Tennessee State 38-35. That game can't be that close. Yeah. And then against Townsend, they're allowing 24 points. It's just teams that Illinois State is better than is scoring a lot of points on this North Dakota State defense. There's clearly a problem on that side of the ball, and that kind of is what happens when you lose your head coach, leaves to another program to be a defensive coordinator there. It's not the same team that we've seen, and this is such a winnable game for Illinois State because not only does Illinois State want to make the playoffs, they want to finish top eight so they can get a home game as well. The stands are going to be packed. It's just, this is Illinois State's time to probably get their biggest win since we've seen in a very long time here in Normal.
Yeah, I mean, is it easy for them to win this game? No, but is it very possible? I think so.
Yeah.
So, because this team, they've shown a lot of strides since week one. I think week one, you could just kind of tell the glimpses of how good this team will be, even though they lost 40-0. That first half, you could just kind of tell this team had a lot of grit, a lot of more talented guys out there that's playing well. And as the week's gone by, they've gotten way better chemistry. They have had way more fluent plays. They've just seemed like they've gotten that click now. And going into, after winning a few games, you're going into the biggest game pretty much of your season right now. And it's homecoming weekend. You got a big fan section coming back behind you. So this game's going to mean a lot to this team. And I really think this could be the one for them to do it.
Frankly, I think they still can lose this game and still be in a very good position throughout the rest of the year. But if you can get it done, you're making a statement to the entire FCS that, I mean, if you beat the number two team, how much do you think they jump up? I mean, I think they would have to go, and they'd easily go into the top five. Yes. Would they flip spots with North Dakota State? I don't think so.
Not that high.
But, I mean, you beat North Dakota State at home. And, I mean, we're talking top five team in the country.
Yeah, and that's what Illinois State needs to be. I kind of alluded to it. Normally in the FCS, when you're a top 16 team, you get to host in the playoffs. But Illinois State is hosting the IHSA state championship here during that weekend, so we would not get that home game. So Illinois State, they need to make a statement. And there's not a bigger statement that can be made than defeating what has been the powerhouse of the FCS for what feels like a decade now in North Dakota State.
I mean, this game would send a message not only to just this conference, but also FBS, FCS. Everybody would, I feel like, would have a chance at just seeing this team now, because North Dakota State had a big game against Colorado. It was like a 5-point game. And if they see a team like Illinois State come out and win this game, it's going to put this university and this team more on the map.
Yeah, and we talk about team who wants this statement. Like, yeah, it can be a big moment for the players. It can be a big moment for the team. What about a big moment for the fans? We've had countless season after season after season of just either a disappointment or this was a really good team. We had a lot of injuries, so there's like a big what if. You can put all the what-if questions away if you beat North Dakota State, because that would cement this as this season for the Redbirds. And I know that's what head coach Brock's back and what the whole team wants, is they don't want any more what-if seasons. They want this to be this season.
This campus would be absurd if they ended up beating them. Like, oh, absolutely. Honestly. Yes. And the best part about it, too, is I really do think that in terms of the community, everyone obviously loves this, our athletics here, but getting the fans more involved, I think this would be game changing. I mean, you would see people, especially in terms of students. Students, I think, would just start going out to every single game they possibly could, because if you be the number two team in the country, that changes everything.
Yeah, the atmosphere just changed all the way through, I think. That's makes so much sense because, yes, a lot of fans show up at the games. It's usually a pretty high amount of fans, students-wise, at the games, but beating the number two team, that just means a lot more, and it just pretty much speaks volumes of what this team can really be.
Yeah, and I'm pretty thankful that I walk to my classes quite frequently, because if we start winning games, traffic's already insane here during football games. Could you imagine if the stadiums was, like, actually sold out? It would be impossible to get from place to place.
They had a sellout on family weekend, but it was kind of funny that, because me and you were doing the game, Julian, and everyone stayed really till the first half because it was a really, really hot day. It was bad. And everyone stayed till the first half, left. It was like my grandparents were actually coming into town, and they were coming in right at that point where everyone was leaving at the halftime. He was like, it was like a herd of bulls leaving the stadium at halftime. And the funniest part was that I kind of wanted to mention was they put a graphic on the screen, and it was like, another sellout, like, thanks so much for coming, blah, blah, blah. And this was like with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and there's maybe like 300 people left there. But nonetheless, let's look at, I just want to look at, ahead to the rest of their schedule, because we talk about how big it is with them potentially beating the number two team in the country in North Dakota State. But really, from here on out, there's not another ranked team on the schedule to this point, which, I mean, that's huge. That's really, really huge for the future of this program and potentially, you know, getting a bit good spot in the playoffs. But once again, we've seen this in the past where they've been right after this North Dakota State game, even though they've lost, they've still been in a good position and they've just let games slip away. And that's just really how it's been for the last 4 years.
Yeah, so I'm a professional hater, if you guys can't really tell by now. So I'm going to look at the negative side of this with there being, like, not many big games left. If you don't make the statement here, you're not going to have a chance to make it for the rest of the season unless you win every game 40-0. So if the Redbirds lose this game and let a couple slip in the past or in the future, they're not going to get the ranking they want. So this is going to be potentially their last opportunity to make a massive statement to the FCS committee. So Illinois State has to do something special this weekend.
Yeah, I agree, because this is obviously their biggest game of the season. If you don't win this one, but you go into the next couple weeks, you lose one of those against maybe a worse opponent, you're not going to have good seeding if you even make the playoffs at that point. Because if you beat North Dakota State, you're ranked higher up, but that also leaves way more room for error. And if you lose any of those other games, then you're pretty much screwed up getting a top eight seed.
So my final question for you guys is just, what is Illinois State's path to victory for beating a powerhouse like North Dakota State?
I think, honestly, it's just taking care of the ball. No mistakes, honestly, turnovers-wise. You just cannot let up at all. Third downs, you got to convert. On the defensive side, you got to convert and those as well.
Yeah, I think Julian was right with that, because we look at how massive a game Iowa was. That game can be completely different, because there was moments in the first half where Illinois State was driving, and then it just ended on a turnover. If those ends in points, who knows how we're talking about Illinois State football right now. So North Dakota State, I'm not saying they're as good as Iowa, but it's going to be our toughest challenge for the season, so we got to approach it as if they're that good. So I believe in that method of victory as well.
Really quick, one thing I want to say is I know it seems weird that I'm just saying this because but we talked so heavily about the run game and the defense, but really, I think this game depends on really how good Tommy Rittenhouse plays. Mm-hmm. We saw him against, like, a powerhouse program like Iowa just not look the best. And I mean, North Dakota State, this is a team that went toe for toe with Colorado week one, and Colorado probably isn't as good as Iowa is, but still, like, that's a good football program. I think if Rittenhouse can play like how he's played the last couple weeks, it really could be game-changing for the way that this game ends up going for the Redbirds. And with that, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk some Redbird men's basketball here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster getting ready to cover some Redbird men's basketball for you. We're still a couple weeks away from the season, but yesterday they had their first open practice to the media for a team that a lot of people in this community are really excited about. I'm going to lay it up to Joey to my right to kind of set us up for his rap that he made for us.
Yeah, so it was a very exciting practice to go to, the with it being the first official one of the season. We saw a lot of great things, and I'm not sure if you listeners know this, but it has been 26 years since Illinois State has last made the March Madness tournament, where they ended up getting a win over the Tennessee Volunteers. So there's been a lot of ups. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and that's where the pressure has been, especially when you look at when head coach Dan Moeller was here. Illinois State kept getting so close but could not finish the job. It's been some underwhelming seasons since then, but man, there is some hype with Illinois State men's basketball this year. Blue Ribbon, they gave them a projection of finishing fourth in the Valley, and Illinois State has not had that high of a projection in quite the long time. They got a lot of new faces. They've returned the likes of like Johnny Kinziger, who finished as a preseason All-American for the MVC. So the vibes are immaculate in Bloomington Normal, and the Redbirds, they want to make a statement this year.
With that being said, here is Joey LeMaster and his rap with Redbird men's basketball.
Illinois State's men's basketball team had their first practice of the 2024-25 season on Wednesday morning. The team got their first official opportunity to play as a unit and showcase what the Redbird faithful can expect this upcoming season. Head coach Ryan Peden was impressed by what his players showcased.
I'm really excited about this team. I love our skill, our basketball IQ, ability to space the floor. I think that's different. I love the grit and competitiveness of this team. That stood out to me.
Leading the path for the Redbirds this season will be Johnny Kinziger. The sophomore was selected to the Blue Ribbon preseason All-MVC team. Despite receiving high recognition, Kinziger is ignoring the hype.
All the preseason stuff, you know, that's cool to get that, but honestly, that doesn't mean much to me right now. It's just about putting in work by myself with the other guys, and, you know, this offseason, we've definitely done that.
Coach Peden and his staff have brought in a wide variety of new players, including point guard Bowden Skunberg. The North Dakota native is looking to avenge the losses he went through in his previous seasons.
The championship, you know, we expect nothing less, you know, from the first day we got here, first day I got here. You know, Coach Brown here said, you know, we want to win a championship. You know, this is the year we've been pointing to. You know, I've made it to last year, the Summer League Championship, 3 years out of four, and lost all three of those times, so I'm hungry. I really want to win.
After previous years of failing to achieve their dream accomplishments, the Redbirds are ready to take on all challenges to achieve those big goals.
I said this when I got here. I want to transform this program into being a championship contender year in and year out.
Yeah, man, we want to go for it all. We want to win the Missouri Valley Championship, and we want to go make a run of the tournament. And I fully believe we can do it. So, you know, we're coming for that championship. We're coming for Bradley, too.
Illinois State basketball kicks off its regular season on November 4th against UT Martin at CEFQ Arena. Reporting for WZND, I'm Joey LeMaster.
Championships. We expect nothing less is what Bowden Skunberg said, as he is one of the newest Redbirds. The hype for this team is very real. Yeah. And I know that you have a lot more notes that you want to mention, but I think one of my favorite things that you told me that didn't end up being in that rap was someone was like, "We're coming for Bradley. Like, this is our year."
We got Johnny saying it.
Okay, it was in there?
Yeah, he said, "We're coming for the MVC regular season and postseason championship, and we're coming for Bradley." Specifically, that's how he ended it.
I mean, I like that, because Bradley right now is projected to be the best team in the conference, and yeah, I mean, this team, there is so much hype. I love what they did in the transfer portal. I love that basically everyone returned besides Foster, and, you know, you lose Kendall Lewis, but still, I think the core and foundation of this team, especially with the youth movement that they kind of have going as well, everything is looking up for this program.
Yeah, absolutely. This team was just missing a couple things last year, and one of the biggest things was shooting, and they brought in a ton of that this offseason with the transfers and the freshmen. And another thing they were missing was size, and they brought in guys like Cameron Barnes, who's 6'10", Skunberg's like a 6'7" point guard who likes to rebound. So there's aggressiveness, which that's something Coach Peden was talking about a lot during his post-press conferences. These guys are just so gritty. They hustle for everything and give 100% at practice. So this team's just different. Like, I don't know how many times I can say this. Just, there's just a different energy in the air that we have not felt or seen for Redbirds basketball in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, since Peden's gotten here, since my freshman year when it was first Dan Mueller to now, Peden completely changed his culture of this team.
Yeah.
You could see guys, they're more excited about playing. They're more excited in the press. Practices, you could just tell they have way more energy. And every single year, he's finding his flaws in this team. He's bringing in new guys to play those flaws. Like, you get more size. You get some more guys that could shoot. Like, he has formed his team into more of a competitive basketball team. And the competitiveness of this team, I think, is going to skyrocket throughout the year.
I think another big thing, too, is as I look over this roster, it's officially his roster. Like, this is every single player that he has recruited in his time here. And I just love, like, they got the point guards, really, it feels like the veteran leaders with Malachi and Dalton Banks. And then you got the young guys like Chase Walker and Johnny Kinzinger, who everyone is just so excited about. And I don't know, it's just everything about this team just feels like it's going in the right direction. It's trending upwards. Yeah,
and Adi could have said it better than that, Ben. He has the guys he wants. He talks about all the time in his press conferences or just in general. He wants to bring in guys that aren't just here to, you know, make a bag. He wants the guys that are ready to learn. And now he has those group of guys, and they're clearly learning and building a foundation. There is just, I can't get over enough. Like, I love all sports at Illinois State, don't get me wrong, but I'm just so excited for this basketball team this year. Cannot say it enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is my thing with this team. If this team wants to win, they're going to win. They have the talent on this team. They have the coaching on this team. It just depends on how much they're going to want to win each and every game this season. Because as long as this team plays well, they're forming really well chemistry-wise, they're going
to
be great.
Yeah, and there's not really a better scenario to win in the Missouri Valley Conference than now. You look at the top dogs like Indiana State and Drake. They lost everybody. No one's there anymore. So outside of Bradley returning majority of their starters, outside of Leon's, it's just, there's anybody's game. It's whoever wants to take the Valley, and Illinois State has the talent to take the Valley and make that March Madness appearance.
What would you say for the Redbird faithful out there and the Redbird fans, who's someone that maybe isn't on our radar that we should be excited about?
Cameron Barnes is going to have a Johnny Kinzinger type season. Okay. Where I remember at the start of the season, we had a lot of hype with the freshman, but, you know, he wasn't getting a lot of burn. He wasn't getting a lot of time. But then eventually, as the season went on and on, he started to gain Coach Peden's trust, and he started putting him in the game more. And then we saw the insurgence he had. Coach Peden kind of alluded to that at his press conference on Wednesday afternoon. He was like, yeah, Cameron Barnes just has tools that you can't teach. He said Cameron Barnes, and I quote, has God-given gifts. He's 6'10". He's freakishly athletic. During the practice, he was blocking multiple three-point attempts. It's just, he's a freak of nature. It's just, he's young. He saw some IQ things to learn, so it's going to take him a second to develop. But Cameron Barnes played for Trae Young's AAU team. You play with Ron Hollins, and you play with another NBA player, which I'm blanking on right now. It's just, he has so much potential that's oozing. And if Coach Peden can make the most out of him, you just can't teach 6'10 freakishly athletic.
Yeah, I would agree. I was going to say Cam Barnes, too, because when this guy first committed to ISU, I just went up to see his highlights, and he just looked like an athletic freak of nature.
Yeah.
He just jumps out the room, skyrockets around the ball, just always high-flying, hustle plays. Everything he's doing is just playing well, and I think he fits into Peden's culture a lot.
Yeah, Cameron Barnes is the definition of just new age basketball. I mean, could you imagine going to the 1980s and like, hey, we got the 6'10 guy that could take the ball up the court, that could pass, dribble, and dunk. They would have a heart attack. That's something they would not be able to physically comprehend. Cameron Barnes is just a freak of nature. I cannot say that enough. And when he gets the opportunity to perform and play for Illinois State, problems are going to arise because no one in the MVC is defending that.
Barnes was with the Ole Miss Rebels a year ago, but was ultimately redshirted and came over to Illinois State. One thing I also want to talk about, guys, is as much as we hype up this team with the transfers, with Barnes, with Skunberg, the vets, I think another big talking point about this team is the sophomores. Last year, everyone was super excited for the freshman class, and it ended up turning out, I would say, pretty successfully. Johnny Kinzinger, I mean, even going back to it at the beginning of the year, I remember I was at the Wesleyan game, and Coach Peden talked about Kinzinger and Ty Pence a little bit. And I was like, oh, man, like, I don't know what – it's just like a little guy. Like, he's – it just feels like he's playing like a kid against men. Mm. He ended up being the best player on the floor. Mm. And, you know, I feel like we're going to see a lot more Ty Pence this year, along with Chase Walker, who ultimately broke his redshirt last year and ended up getting some quality minutes. So – Joey, I know you got a lot to say with the sophomore class, so let's hear it.
Yeah, so we're going to bounce off of that because Coach Peden, we saw something in the practice we did not see last season, and this is maybe a news bomb. Ty Pence will be playing the four this season. He's not a guard anymore.
Okay.
He's going to be getting those big man minutes. He's 6'7", and we saw him doing some post work. His IQ for passing in the post was incredible during those workouts, and he still makes those mid-range jumpies. So I think that transition was a great idea by Coach Peden. And then Chase Walker, the work he has put in this offseason is incredible. I'm going to say this in a little bit of a disrespectful way. He was out of shape last season. I'm not going to pretend he wasn't. He lost 15 pounds. It looks like he just got so much muscular.
Yeah.
And you can tell in his practices, he was posting up Brandon Leave and getting easy buckets as Will with just his size. Chase Walker, he really put in the work this offseason. And the sophomore class was great last year, but they're only going to take an even bigger jump this season.
You got me hyped for the season now. I'm not going to lie.
You not got goosebumps, man? Do you have anything else like that you got from this press conference that wasn't in the wrap that like is really like kind of like similar to what you said about Ty Pence playing the forward spot?
Yeah, he kind of addressed it a little bit where it's just last season, Ty Pence didn't get a lot of burn just because, like, he was learning a lot as a freshman, you know,
sure.
Just not even just as an athlete, but just as a player in general, or not a player, excuse me, just a human being. Going away from your town, I think it was St. Ogden, to now Bloomington Normal, it's a change. It does a lot on you mentally, and that's why Coach Peden said he was just having some struggles, and that's why we didn't see a lot of him last season. But with the big men leaving and the jump he's taking this offseason, you can expect to see a lot more of Ty Pence this season.
Who would you predict is the starting five come day one? I know Coach Peden, like, it almost feels like across the years he's never really had, like, a true starting – like, some of the better players will be on the bench. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's how he's okay with that. Like, it took forever until we actually saw Kinziger in the starting lineup every day. Mm. What would you say is the starting five?
The first three are going to, it's going to be really small ball, I believe, at the start.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be Malachi Banks and Kinziger, which is small, but they're just the three best players. You can't really have not one of them be on the court. But the big man is where it's kind of up in the air, because you can do Chase Walker and Brandon Leave, but then you kind of have a lack on the bench because you want to give Cameron Barnes time to develop, and Ty Pence can't be your starting four with how small the other three guards are as well. So there's some confusion there. I just really want to see Cameron. Once Cameron Barnes, let me try this again. Cameron Barnes is not going to be a starting four on day one, but once he's ready and you have like Cameron Barnes and Chase Walker, that's going to be the best front court in the MVC. I'm fully confident with that. Chase Walker just has freakish size. He's Miles Foster, but bigger. And then you have Cameron Barnes, who can stretch the floor, can also attack the rim. It's just, this team oozes with potential once they're ready. I think it could be a little shaky in these first couple of weeks, but once this team gets rolling, I'm expecting them to make some damage.
Yeah, it's kind of like the yin and yang you just said. Cameron Barnes and Chase Walker, you got a big guy, and then he's a big name guy. He'll make some plays down there in the down on the box, but like on the other side, Cameron Barnes will stretch out the floor for you.
Mm.
So whenever Walker's in the game, he's gonna be the bigger guy trying to make some bodies out in the paint, but Cameron Barnes, you can kick it out to him, he'll make some shots.
Yeah, because shooting was an issue last year, especially if you look at the forward position with Kendall Lewis and Miles Foster. None of them are a legit threat outside of 3-point line. No one would ever have taken that seriously. So when Miles Foster's trying to post up in the paint, it's just getting too clunky. That's not going to be an issue for Illinois State this year, especially because Ty Pence can also shoot the ball. They're going to have forwards and guards that can stretch the floor. And for the first time in a while, Illinois State is going to have spacing.
There's so much excitement on the horizon with this team. Their Redbird basketball team technically tips off their season on October 26th here at CEFQ Arena, where they will take on Lewis in an exhibition game. But just a week after that, UT Martin comes to town, and that one will be on November 4th, which is a Monday. So a lot of excitement for the Redbirds basketball team, and we cannot wait to bring you coverage all season long. When we come back, we're going to do Rounding the Bases here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Benji, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, and joining us on the show now is Everton Levy, one of our great news and sports interns. So, Everton, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Of course, man. It's a pleasure to be here, bro. I'm so excited, man. I'm not going to lie.
So, Everton will be with us for the next 30 minutes as we will do pick six in the second half of the show. But right now, we kind of mentioned at the beginning, there was a lot that happened in sports this week, and usually we kind of talk about the previous week in the NFL, and we might get to it a little bit, but nonetheless, we just want to get over these stories, so we're going to do some rounding the bases, and we're going to start off with Joey. Joey and Everton, I know you guys, I mean, for everyone, really, this hit home this morning. I mean, it was like a bomb went off. My phone died last night, and I woke up this morning, and I opened up social medias after my phone turned on, and I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? Derrick Rose is retired from the NBA. I mean, to us, this player, he's our childhood, right?
Yeah.
If you grew up a Bulls fan, around our age, this guy was monumental to not only, I feel like, our sports watching lives, but just Bulls basketball in general for a good period of time.
And my family's going to laugh at me for saying this, but like, this is the first time in my life I felt old. Like, this is my childhood ending. You know, like, I grew up with Derrick Rose throughout the highs of the MVP, the lows of tearing his ACL, and then the comeback of him scoring 50 against the Timberwolves, how emotional of a moment that was. Like, we witnessed so much with him. And Derrick Rose just represents everything the city of Chicago is. You know, growing up, playing there in high school, now playing for his hometown team. It's just such an emotional story. And that he just, no one represents Chicago better than he does.
Yeah, bro, I agree. It was like, I fell to my knees when I woke up. Woke up, I'm all right, prepare for the morning. First thing I see, Derrick Rose retires. I'm all right, that's the end of the day for me. I'm just going to lay in bed the rest of the day because he meant a lot to me. And, you know, like, obviously from Chicago. I actually played his middle school team back when I was like 6 years. We lost by like 30, but we don't have to talk about that part. But Derrick Rose means a lot, bro. Absolute legend.
Yeah, I know Everton was really emotional because I was sitting next to him in media law class and he was watching those Derrick Rose highlights, you know, doing everything but the homework. So, like, I know it was a really emotional day for him.
Yes, it was. I'm not going to lie, bro.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, the reason I started watching basketball was because of D Rose.
100%.
I got D Rose shoes when I was younger. I used to play at Bull Sox Academy when I was a little kid. So, like, there was always those little D Rose, like, signatures, and I would always grab one after practice. So, like, D Rose meant so much to me when I was playing basketball and back in the day. And I will never forget Tom Thibodeau for what he did.
Oh, my.
Never.
He was my first ever sports jersey ever. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose jersey. The first ever pair of basketball shoes I owned. You guys remember, like, the blue ones? Yeah. It was, I forgot what the, I think they were they might have been Rose ones or something, but they were blue. Honestly, they were really ugly, but, like, at the time, I didn't care because I was wearing Derrick Rose shoes. Yeah. Exactly. And just really just going through everything. It's like he really was. And I mean, everyone said it best. He just changed the way that I watch sports. And I still remember he provided one of those moments where it's like, you remember where you're at. When he hit the buzzer against Cleveland, I still remember I was at my grandma's house. Yeah. I'm watching it and I just start jumping up and down on the bed. I was so excited. And, I mean, I thank you for the memories, Derrick. I know you're probably not listening to this, but it's okay. I just want to tribute to you.
No, like, he provided the highs of the highs and the lowest of lows. You talk about remembering that. Everyone remembers where they were when Derrick Rose went down with the injury and the Bulls just championship hopes just
ended. I cried.
Yeah. Oh, I cried. You know, that's probably my first time crying. It was either that or the B.J. Raji pick six against the Bears in the NFC championship.
Oh, my God.
Those are the two most traumatic experiences of my childhood.
I mean, if the Bulls don't, I know it's probably not going to happen now, but the fact that they can't make that man retire a Bull, it just says so much about the Ryan's ownership.
You want to mention, kind of go forward with that? Because I didn't know about this until you told me.
Yeah, so it was said that the Bulls have a maximum roster of 21 people.
Sure.
So they won't want to waive anybody. And you know, from that management, from the ownership, they're so stingy with anything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to do some fan service like this, like signing D Rose. But I don't even think it's for the fans. It's more for the respect of what he did for the whole city and the whole state of Illinois.
Yeah, he means way too much to Chicago for him not to get that one day retirement. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the management, they're a little stingy at times, and our fan attendance doesn't help with that. I'm not gonna lie. We're always number one, so they're like, who cares? They're gonna watch our games anyways.
Right.
But they gotta do something, bro. There can't be nothing that goes. He has to. There has to be some sort of thing going on.
I'll say this. He might not get that one day retirement, and the Bulls, I think, put some pretty good tributes up on their social media page to say, I would say in the next couple of years, that number one's going up in the rafters.
No question.
I mean, has anyone worn it? I don't think anyone's worn it.
Anthony Morrow tried to, then the whole fans got so mad.
Anthony
Morrow.
Oh, my God. Out of respect,
Do you guys think he's in the Hall of Fame?
No. Actually, wait, it's pretty easy to make the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be here for 15 minutes if we debate this. We gotta move on. This will go on for too long.
Yes. Yes, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Because you could just, as a person, like, just making an impact on the game of basketball, and that's exactly what he did for really 15 years. I mean, we might just see it because we live in Illinois and, you know, we cherish this man's career, but I think Derrick Rose is like a nationally loved figure at this point.
Yeah,
for sure.
Let's get into some other things. We're actually going to still talk about Chicago sports here, and we're going to go on the other side of the Reinsdorf hierarchy of owning teams. And there's two stories I want to talk about in baseball. The one is, are the White Sox going to just break this record already? Because we're right there. We are right there at the finish line. And they decide to sweep the Los Angeles Angels, which Angels, I mean, they are the second worst team in baseball, but still, that is embarrassing to get swept by the Chicago White Sox. And we're going to Detroit this weekend. Detroit is trying to make a playoff spot, so I'm thinking it's coming, but 120 losses right now. They just need one more to break the all-time record. You're shaking your head, Everton. What's up?
I'm a White Sox fan.
Okay.
So, you're
the only one in here, White Sox
fan. Yeah, I'm a little odd, but it's been, like, rough. I'm not a big, big baseball fan, but, like, I've been keeping up, and it's, like, every time I check box scores,
it's crazy.
I'm like, yo, what's going on? Then I didn't even realize there was a record till today, and I searched it up, and I'm like, we're really about to break the worst record ever. Like, I laughed at the Pistons all season. We're just the Pistons of baseball.
Yeah. They tied the record. So the record is tied at least, but there's like two things I want to mention with this that I just think is really funny. They were cheering when the Angels scored on Tuesday night. Was that when it started?
Yeah.
Tuesday night was the big night where everyone's like, this is going to happen. Like, everyone go to the stadium. When the Angels scored, the Sox fans were cheering, and you can hear from the broadcast just the entire stadium yelling, sell the team, sell the team. Because they've been saying this for years with Jerry Reinsdorf, because he's cheap when it comes to the White Sox. But the other thing that I love, that it's coming to this weekend, and I talked to you guys before the show, Jason Benetti, one of the best announcers in baseball, one of the best announcers in the game right now, kind of got fired by the White Sox. It's still like a murky whether he... he got more money with the Tigers, obviously, and he was asking for more money with the White Sox, but they wouldn't give it to him. So he went to the Tigers. He gets his revenge this weekend because they're going to lose to the Tigers once, right? They have to.
Yeah, they got to. I mean, like, I could go on for so long about how much I hate the Reinsdorfs, even as a Cubs fan, but also as a Bulls fan, but that team is just so sorry, man. Like, it's just so sad to watch a team just that bad in your own city. And everybody else in the whole entire world just knows how bad they are. And they got players on that team that just know that they're just so bad.
I'm not that sad.
And then they got like Luis Robert, a guy that has so much potential. He just had such a bad season because his team's so bad.
It's insane.
It's crazy how much like this team, 2 years ago, people thought they were going to be a huge playoff contender. And now they're going down to this. It's totally opposite of what you want.
It's really bad. And it's in Chicago too. Like, if this was happening in like Tampa Bay or Oakland, which we're going to get to next, like, I think it makes sense, but it's just, you're in the third biggest market in the United States. Like, you should be putting out winning teams every year. I could say the same thing for the Cubs right now, but look at what the Dodgers are doing. Look at what the Mets and Yankees are doing. Like, they are able to put winning teams on the field almost every year. I don't understand why we can never do it here in Chicago for any of our sports. I do want to get to one of the California teams. Today was the last ever game at the Oakland Coliseum. The A's, after this weekend, will officially just become the Athletics. They will not be the Oakland Athletics. And I was watching all the videos, and I feel terrible. Like, imagine just taking the Bulls out of Chicago and plopping them in another city. It'd be the worst feeling of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like they like moved some like tiny team that didn't have like a big fan base to a random city. The Oakland Athletics are such a historic team that's like just filled with deep, rich history. So the fact of all teams, it's them moving, and they're not gonna have a home stadium for three whole seasons. Yeah. That's just crazy.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, these fans just lost two teams in the span of the last few years. These are teams that are
cherished.
Yes.
And even the Raiders too, cherished and loved by this community, and they just
throw them all away. Yeah, they just throw them all away, and it's so disrespectful to the fans that have been living there their entire lives, because these are what the teams they grew up on and the teams that their kids have grown up on, and everything like that's just going to wash out the door.
I think the biggest thing of it all is just their owner. He is being such an a-hole over this entire situation.
Whoa.
Like, he just is. Sorry. But he is just being the worst about this entire situation, and he's saying he didn't want to move them. Yeah, you did, because you're going to get more money by moving the team to Vegas in a couple of years. I guarantee you that once this whole situation ends up being resolved and they're in Vegas, he's still not going to spend money on the product on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray for you, Oakland Athletics, or should I just say Athletics fans now? I wish it was a brighter pasture and you guys got to stay in Oakland where you just have deep rooted history. But frankly, it seems like that chapter has been closed as of today. All right, Julian, you want a soapbox? We got a good weekend of college football coming up. A lot of great games, but I think the biggest one of them all is Illinois versus Penn State.
Oh yeah. So I know everybody in this whole room right now just loves the Illini so much. So I'm just going to just say right now, your number 19 Illinois Fighting Illini will beat Penn State this weekend. You guys, if they don't win this weekend, next week on the show, you guys can clown me as much as you want.
I'll say, Julian, you want to put like a little bet on it?
Okay.
Like, no money, of course. Yeah, but, like, something silly on air. Like, I'll sing the fight song if they win, but you got to do something if they lose.
Whatever you want.
The Illinois fight song?
Yeah, I'll sing the Illinois fight
song. Steve would not like that. That'd be bad.
They're not going to win.
That was a big win last week. I don't think we talk about it enough.
We never talk about it. I mean, like, Dylan Raiola, I know he's a freshman, but he's already getting comparisons to the best quarterback maybe later on in the history of the NFL. But I don't think Drew Aller is that good at all. And I honestly think Luke Altmaier's had a better season than Drew Aller.
Okay.
He's been playing so well this season. I honestly did not expect it. Like, week one, I even said, like, I don't know how I feel about this dude, but he's been balling out this whole entire season. And this is really the game to prove it. I know Nebraska was only ranked a couple spots above us, but now you got Penn State, a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat a top 10 team right now, you're at least top 12. Then 2 weeks later, you got Michigan. You beat Michigan. Then look at where you're at going into Oregon.
And then you beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship.
All right, nah,
and
I'm
then you beat Georgia in the finals.
All right, you're a Notre Dame fan. Look what happened to you with NIU.
This is a big week for us. If they beat Louisville, I mean, season's back on. Season's back on.
Versus Penn State right now.
Louisville's the 15th team in the country.
I've seen some arguments in this show today.
Louisville's the 15th team in the country.
But, like, at the same time, you guys lost to NIU. I'm
sorry, that's bad, bro.
You'll also beat Texas A&M to start the season, so. Mm-hmm.
This is our experience.
Where was your primetime game at, Julian? Did College Game
Last
Day
week?
Come to you?
Last
oh,
week.
Oh, they did?
We had a primetime
game.
I'm a professional.
I'd be lying sometimes.
Come on now. You'll see it this weekend. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yeah. But you said that's the biggest game?
No, that's definitely not the biggest
game. Oh. Yeah. Your game is the biggest game.
Georgia-Alabama.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I thought that was the biggest game of this week, I totally agree with you.
I didn't realize. I forgot Georgia and Alabama are playing.
This
is a crazy week of college football. Yeah. When is that weekend coming up that's
October
like...
October 12th.
October 12th, yeah.
Oh, we're almost there. Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole hour on college football for that weekend. Oh, man. Well... You will.
I will not be here, unfortunately.
Okay, we'll get to that later. When we come back on the Red Zone, we're gonna do pick six. We'll be right back. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Julian Voss, Everton Levy, back with another week and edition of Pick Six. We had a heck of a week last week. Well, really not all of us, but let's look back over. Steve, he wanted his flowers. I don't know what I was trying to say there, but it doesn't. I digress.
I think that was a diss to Joey.
Yeah.
Your own people.
Steve, he wanted his flowers. He texted me and Joey before the show. He went 6-0, so congratulations to you, Steve. I wish we could play like a happy celebration little thing for him, like a confetti going off. He is currently in the lead. He is 14-4 on the season. And then the guest, Colleen, went 4-2, along with Julian, 4-2, and myself and Joey both had 500, 3-3. Let's look over the standings really quick. Steve, 14-4. Myself, 11-7 in second. Julian in third now at 10-8, and Joey and the guest are 9-9 on the season.
I told you we'll be back.
Yeah, my fault is crazy.
I told you
Joey's okay.
Yeah. No, I'll be back. This is the week. I went 5-1.
We just need
again.
Steve to fall off, but I mean, this week feels
Steve
like it might
rock
be a
chalk
little,
again. Would
yeah.
have guessed.
Let's start tonight in a couple. In almost, 40 minutes, the Cowboys and Giants will be kicking off an exciting game to some, not us. But there are some good things going on with this game. I think everyone's excited to see Malik Nabers because he's been phenomenal this year. Yeah. And the Cowboys really, really need a win as they start the season 1-2. Joey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go really bold here, and I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants have Daniel Jones at quarterback.
Don't switch up. That was a joke.
Steve is saying Dem Boys. That is his pick. All right, Everton, what do you got?
The thing is, Cowboys make the most sense.
Yeah.
But they look so bad.
They really
so
do.
Bad. Yeah. I think I'm going to go Cowboys because they're the better team, unless Daniel Jones just throws it to Malik Nabers the whole game, which...
I mean, it happens. He had 16 targets last week and 18 the week before that.
Right? So, I'm gonna go Cowboys though.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Cowboys too. It's an easy decision. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is gonna have over 100 yards tonight. Mm-hmm. Alright, move on.
I still gotta make my pick, man. I'll give you a spin zone here. Daniel Jones actually looked good last week. I'm not going to lie. He did look good last week. I think he went like 21 for 28, had two touchdowns to Neighbors.
Yeah.
Neighbors is so awesome. He's on my fantasy team, so he's like becoming my favorite player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, the Cowboys cannot start 1-3. They are a much, much better team than this Giants team. That is just, I don't even know how they got a win last week in Cleveland, but they did. So 1-2 Giants, I thought they had a chance going 0-16 this year, but they're not going to. This is a big one. Vikings and Packers. Let me set the stage here. Sam Darnold is like the early favorite to win MVP after he just destroyed the Houston Texans last week, just walked all over them. Justin Jefferson, Sam Darnold, and the rest of that Vikings team is just killing it right now. Meanwhile, the Packers are 2-0 with Malik Willis under center. And, you know, it's just showing how Matt LaFleur is one of the best coaches in football. I think this one's a coin flip, boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. excuse me. I'm going to make the classic mistake where I have a pick ahead of time and then I change it last second and it loses. This will be I did the past 2 weeks. So I'm going to do it again. I just have to ride with Minnesota. The momentum they have is nuts. Jordan Addison's confirmed he's going to be making a season debut as well, which I think is so massive for that receiving core. Yeah, let's give Sam Darnold the weapon he is, just an even another weapon. The Vikings just have momentum no one would have seen coming, so I have to ride the wave until it does.
I think I'm going to also roll with the Vikings. I feel like Malik Willis is going to I'm not to hate, because he's actually been pretty solid.
Yes,
like,
man, yeah.
More proud of him, but I think this might be the team that gives him some trouble, and I think Darnold's going to do it again. I mean, if you throw the ball Justin Jefferson 10 times a game, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers team, they're very well-rounded. I know their quarterback situation is iffy. Love may come back. He may not. But this Vikings defense has looked so good this year, too, apart from their offense, and I just got to take the Vikings as well. Like, this, their receiving core is nuts. Aaron Jones is back there, going to be playing very well again. And their old line is just phenomenal as well. So I got to go with the Vikings.
I am taking a tie. No, I if it happens, though, clip that. I wish these teams could just both lose. But I'm going to take the Packers. And Steve also went with the Packers.
Probably smart, then.
They're as good as the Vikings have looked. The Packers defense, or excuse me, Vikings defense look, the Packers defense has looked just as phenomenal. Jair Alexander, as much as I dislike him, he's been really good this year. I think he's already got two picks on the season, including a pick six. There's a lot going well with this Packers team. Their offense is cooking. They're giving the ball to Josh Jacobs like 100 times a game now that Malik Willis is under center. Jordan Love's gonna be back soon. These teams both look really good, and yeah, I'm gonna go with the Packers though this week. I think it's a coin flip. All right, the one that I think no one wants to pick because it's been to our dismay the last 2 weeks, the Rams and the Bears. The Rams got a huge win last week against the Niners, just coming back from the dead in the fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford, I mean, one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in our life. Meanwhile, the Bears, Caleb Williams looked pretty good on Sunday, threw for 360 yards, but had three turnovers, and Shane Waldron needs to go to jail. Joey, I'll start with you.
Oh, yeah, we already know who I'm going to pick. This is a given every week, but I'm going Chicago Bears. Rams, get ready for this Roschon Johnson pound town. We're on the way, baby.
Everton?
I think I'm going to go Bears. I think the defense can do good against the Rams, but I also think the only thing that's got me confused is because of the play calling. The play calling in O-line is the only thing that's tripping me up, but I think I'm going to stick with the Bears and Roll Bears. You're going to roll with the Bears.
I'm going to say that now, too. Roll Bears. I mean, like, I'm going to take the Bears until they lose. I mean, until they win a game. Like, I got to. It's just, I don't want to bet against them 1 week, and that's the 1 week they win. I come back to the show, and then I hear all about them winning and me taking the Rams and all that. So I got to go with the Bears. I know that they're not playing that well. Everything except for the quarterback-wise, pretty much. But I just got to stick it out with them.
Give me the Rams. Give me the Rams.
No, because you talk about it every week where when you pick the Bears, the other team wins. So I respect that.
So that's what I'm doing. We are starting a turnaround right now. I will take a pick six loss just for the Bears to get a win.
That's
so I'm riding with, if they win this week, I will be picking against the Bears every week from here on out. And I don't care how much that affects. Besides the week they play the Panthers, I'm taking the Bears. Actually, Andy Dalton kind of slaying it last week. So, but either way, I'm riding the Rams because every week that I picked against the Bears last year, they would win. Eagles, Buccaneers.
That's a good one.
Eagles, big win last week against the Saints. Saquon Barkley is early candidate for offensive player of the year. And the Bucks, after starting 2-0 and feeling like everything was up, they somehow lost to the Denver Broncos. So this is an interesting one. Steve is going with the Eagles. Joey, let's start with you.
Yeah, the Buccaneers are just one of these teams that are going to lose to really bad teams but then beat the really good ones. I'm riding with the Baker Mayfield show. He's just so fun to watch play the game of football. And the Eagles, I really hyped up their offense after week one. It's kind of slowed down a little bit outside of Barkley. Jalen Hurts has not impressed me like I would want him to. I'm riding with the Bucs.
I mean, I'm not upset about the loss for the Bucs last yeah. You know, the Broncos won. I'm good. But I think I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going to go Eagles. I watched the game last week. Baker did look a little tough. Plus, I think Eagles' defense is decent, and I think Saquon is just—he's incredible.
Awesome.
So, despite they might win in spite of Jalen Hurts. Joking, by the way, but yeah, I'm going with Eagles.
Yeah, this one right here is either going to make or break my week, I think. But I'm going to take the Bucks.
Okay.
Just because they maybe had a rough week last week, but I think Mike Evans is due for a huge week at some point, and I think this will be the week.
There are some great games on this slate this week. Other than Cowboys Giants, it kind of feels like everything's a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I like what I've seen out of them. It could be better. I still can't mm-hmm. believe they didn't run the ball with Saquon in that Monday night game against the Falcons, but I also picked the Falcons that week. But yeah, the Bucks. I think last week was just like a weird week for them. I think this one's going to be a great game, one of the best games on the schedule, and I'm excited for it. And it's a rematch of the playoffs last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is.
All right, Sunday Night Football. This is a good one. The Bills.
Oh, my God.
Bills Mafia, 3-0 on the season right now, and Josh Allen is the MVP. There is no doubt in my mind, even though he didn't even look that good against the Dolphins, if he's getting wins with this Bills just offensive core, I mean, he's looking up for that team. Versus the Ravens, who finally got a win last week. This is just another great game on the schedule.
Yeah, absolute barn burner we got in front of us. The Ravens, they're hungry right now. They just haven't looked like the same team. It looked like it was going to be a dominant performance against the Cowboys. And the Cowboys almost came back. It's about to get real shaky for Baltimore. And it's just, you just can't pick against this Bills team right now. Like, I think there's rosters in the NFL I would prefer over the Bills. But I don't think there's a team I would pick over the Bills right now. Just how impressive they've been throughout the season. I'm riding with Buffalo until I physically can anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Bills as well. They looked, I mean, granted it's the Jaguars, but they were like cooking the Jaguars, and they've looked good all season so far. Ravens have ups and downs. Like the Chiefs game was and they almost won that game. And then, like you said with the Cowboys, they almost blew that game. So I don't know. They look a little tough. So I'm going to go with the Bills.
My brain was so thrown off. I was still thinking back to that Thursday night game when I said that Josh Allen didn't look that good. I completely forgot that they played the Jaguars on Monday Night Football. Go ahead, Julian.
I like the Ravens this one. I think primetime Lamar is about to have a game tonight or Sunday night, but the Ravens and Bills both have very, very good defenses right now, and I think it's going to be more of a defensive powerhouse this game versus how we've seen it a lot of time in primetime this week. But this Ravens team, they're just going to get better and better each week, and I think after last week's win, they're going to keep it going now.
I agree with you. I think they need a statement win.
Yes.
And this is where they can get it done. And I don't think that is any discredit to the Bills. They look really, really good. That defense looks really good, too, which is crazy because they lost so many pieces. You see DeMar Hamlin had 2 interceptions.
Imagine being the first guy to throw a DeMar Hamlin interception, bro.
Twice.
That's a horrible pass.
Twice. Trevor Lawrence.
I said he's overrated.
Oh, man. I'm going with the Ravens. I think they need a stable win. Lamar was the MVP last year. They got to get him going on his legs again. But I think you talked about this a couple weeks ago. They need another receiving option.
They do.
Cause Andrews is just not involved.
Yeah.
I know he's still like slowly coming back from his injury last year, but still.
And apparently they need a kicker too. Who would have thought that had a
I know, oh, right?
Gosh.
Yeah. You draft Justin Tucker to fantasy one time until he wants to miss 3 kicks in 3 weeks. It's the craziest thing.
All right. Big one on Monday night. These games have just been classic games the last couple of years. Seahawks and Lions. Last year, I'm pretty sure the Seahawks won, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
It was like a really good game, high scoring shootout. This one's going to be on Monday night. I saw the Lions jerseys. They look sick. Their rebrand is like perfect. We can hate on Lions all we want, but their rebrand is perfect. Joe, you can start us off here.
Yeah, outside of my happiness, I'm going to throw that out the window real quick. I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions. I know that's not really the agenda, so I'm trying to push here on Red Zone, but I'm not riding the Geno Smith show anymore. I'm not really moved like I was last season. And Detroit, they do happen to be really good at the game of football, so I'm going to go with the Lions.
The thing is, right, Seahawks haven't looked terrible, but they've played who? Like, I don't know, but I think I'm gonna go Detroit. Like, they haven't looked amazing like they did last year, yeah. But I do think this is the type of game that they can step up and get a big win and then start a nice little run the rest of the season.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the Lions. Shout out Steve. I think it's gonna be a nice little primetime win for them right here, so let's see how they go with it.
Who do we think Steve's going in with in this one?
I don't know.
The Lions.
He's going with the Lions. I'm gonna go with the Lions too. I mean, after that loss that I've kind of thought was unexpected to the Buccaneers, they ended up looking really good against the Cardinals, who obviously we sing the praises of the Cardinals on this podcast, but that defense looked really good. Jahmyr Gibbs is, did you see the play that they had where Amon-Ra caught it and then flipped it off to Jahmyr Gibbs? That was sick. Like, that was sick. But the Lions are going to win this one, and I think that's all going to wrap it up for pick six and wrap it up on this edition of the Red Zone. Once again, Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, thank you so much, Everton, for joining the show.